In this episode, we talk about health and fitness for entrepreneurs and business leaders. We're joined by one of Australia's leading health and fitness entrepreneurs, Greg Stark, who's the author of recent book Sweat Equity, that looks at how business leaders and those in pursuit of a dream can not only pursue their dream, but maintain and improve their health and fitness along the journey. This is a good one, guys. Stay tuned. 28 and I'm trying to shape history, pulling from the sky for some strength to take with me, line up the stars, fly away quickly and push the world forward like a tidal wave hit me. I ride the wave swiftly, I fear no man, check my titles mate quickly, came from the sky with the light of day in me and grew my own wings. Hello and welcome to this episode of Ask Jack D. I am joined today by one of Australia's leading health and fitness entrepreneurs, a guy called Mr. Greg Stark, who also happens to be one of my closest friends in the world, founder and CEO of Better Being Personal Training. Now, Greg has trained athletes, models, celebrities. He's trained corporates like PricewaterhouseCoopers, Merivale, ANZ, and he's recently written what will become a best-selling book called Sweat Equity. This is, it's the only book I've ever read on health and fitness, but that's important, and it's important for this reason. The reason why I was able to read this book and the reason why I absolutely loved reading this book is because it was the first book I've ever read on health and fitness that was written from the perspective of another entrepreneur and of a business leader. And so what I found in this was, firstly, what I loved was the marriage of, you know, Greggy pulls on philosophers from 2,000 years ago. He pulls on modern day science. So you're sort of pulling on a bunch of, you know, things from different ends of the spectrum while talking about how to apply them, not only in your own unique and authentic way, but how to fit them in to a busy lifestyle. Here at The Entourage, we've got a community of 300,000 people, very, very busy people. And it's so much of the conversation that we often have with entrepreneurs is, how do I continue to improve my fitness? How do I maintain my fitness? How do I have a holistic approach to the way I approach life and business and do it in a way that maintains my health and fitness? How do I sleep more? How do I prepare for stressful periods better? How do I deal with stress? All of this stuff comes back down to health, right? And without health, everything else falls by the wayside. This sort of stuff underpins absolutely everything else we do in life and business. Yet, we've never really had a conversation about it on Ask Jack, have we, Rosie? That's just not good enough. And we haven't done enough of it on stage or anything like that as well. So I'm really glad that Greggy's written this book because he's been training me for 7 years. I don't know if I'm much of a success story.
An elite athlete, mate, I think.
Greggy, thank you for finally joining us.
Hey, great to finally be here.
For an Ask Jack D.
I've been waiting for my invite all along. Finally.
You've been waiting a long time.
Finally.
Finally got the call up. Now, mate, this book, as I just said, I think is real, what I would call well-rounded and holistic, but also written in such a way that people like us, people that are really, really busy, can apply it really effectively. Talk to us about some of the principles in here.
Yeah, I guess it's built on a lifetime of work and everything that we learn and have taught and the research that we've done. And we teach about the four pillars of performance. We call them mindset, movement, nutrition, recovery. And the body is only at its peak if all four are working together. So the book's broken down into those sections and it's based on principles. There's no fads or here's your diet plan, here's your exercise program, but it's about these are timeless principles that we know that work and are fundamental mindsets that you need to take in order to have that sustainability.
Is there a particular... even if we reflect on the journey that you sort of have taken me through training me for the last 6 or 7 years, are there common barriers to busy people or business leaders or entrepreneurs achieving the level or achieving the behaviours that enable them to have a strong level of health?
Yeah, I think the thing is often with working with people like yourself is it's not a case of trying to push you harder. That you're often your own hardest critic and you're often wanting to do more. That a lot of the time it's about how do we scale it back? How do we make sure that you're focused on what's important, but also taking care of your health so that you have the energy and the focus to do those sort of things. So that's why I love working with people who work in these fields, because it is very similar to working with athletes, like our background, that an athlete always wants to train, they always want to play and they always want to perform, that the hardest thing is identifying them when they're at risk of doing too much and pulling them back and changing things a little bit in that regard. I think that's probably the reoccurring theme, and particularly entrepreneurs, when you start out your business and you've got all this energy and focus that you want to put into it, that you sacrifice in all other areas, that if you really want to have that sustainability and ability to do that long term, you need to be valuing your health, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. I remember when we started, so Greggy came through Scalable and Saleable, which was our 12 or 24 month business education program that we started with here at the Entourage. Greggy was in the first ever group back in 2011, and it's probably been training me ever since then. And what would happen with me is that we'd run unconvention tours, I think twice each year back then. But an unconvention tour, I'm speaking to 1,000, anywhere from 400 to 1,500 people, depending on the city, and you're doing six cities. And so you're speaking some more the next day, getting on a plane, do it. And by the end, it's quite, it's a high endurance period, right? And what used to happen to me is I'd do that high endurance period and then I'd be sick for a week or two, right? And I'd come in and I'd train with Greg and go, we need to change something around this. This approach clearly isn't working. And that's the pull back type stuff that you're talking about, is adopting a holistic approach.
Yeah, and I think also it's always very individualized as well. What works for you won't necessarily work for someone else. And I know the big thing for you was the night before those big events was creating a bit of a routine and pattern, which for you, running was that space for you. It was almost meditative in the role that it played for you. And so by discovering those things and keeping that there, you then create those patterns for success. And health can be very pivotal to that.
Now I can just keep going forever.
we've got to answer.
I haven't been sick in a very, very long time.
This happens. I don't get any questions.
So Facebook, we need more questions.
We've got questions. Oh, you're just not letting me ask.
Okay,
but
we need more questions. Okay. I always do this.
I know. Okay, so.
But seriously, I can sustain. No, it's called Ask Jack D, not Ask Rosie M. I can sustain a high level of output. And what I've learned through working with Greggy is, even when you've got those high endurance periods or those high pressure periods or high challenge periods, still creating the time and space to do what I need to do in order to look after my health, so that I'm operating in a sustainable fashion.
Yeah.
What I love, Greggy, I was just refreshing myself on this book before we went.
The introduction? The forward? Do you like the forward?
The forward is great. I don't know how you got to do that. He's a smart guy. Athletes train. So your whole principle, and that's why it's called sweat equity, is that if you are, you don't need to be an entrepreneur. If you're in business and you're pursuing something you love and you're busy, you're an athlete.
Yeah.
Right? And one of the things you say here is athletes will train 90% of the time to perform 10% of the time. We perform 90% of the time. And we'll train 10% of the time, right?
Yeah.
Which just increases its importance.
And like you said as well, I think the Nike mission statement is, if you have a body, you are an athlete. Mm. And that's the approach that we take with every client, whether it's a young teenage child wanting to get fitter or stronger, or a 90-year-old grandma, that you have a specific set of demands that your life needs, and it's about creating strategies to perform the best at those things.
Yeah,
you don't have to be an Olympic gold medalist to have that approach.
Yeah, 100%. All right, should we let Rosie throw
Yeah, we'll let her ask a few questions.
So first question comes from Damaris. She says, Greg, you mentioned the four pillars. Which would you tackle first if all four would need work? And second, what's the biggest difference you see once you start applying these things?
I love that question, Damaris. Just recap the four pillars, and the question was, what's the first one you'd start with?
Well, I think firstly, they're all equally important. So there's no point just focusing on one and putting your energy into that. But where we start with clients, first and foremost, is that mindset piece, like with anything, that if we can get the mind on board, everything else can tend to fall in place with that. So we focus on, in the book, it's the three P's, so purpose, progress and perception. So with the purpose is understanding what role your health plays in your life. And as we mentioned, all those things, that if you lose your health, then everything else can suffer. Your relationships, your ability to perform at work. So having that understanding of what health, and it's not defined by the number on the scale and what your weight's telling you your health is worth. It's about being conscious of the other areas of life that it influences. So I think if, and you know, as you talk about in business, that if you have a consciousness of what that higher purpose is to your business or to your health, that you then value it and make decisions around that. That's based on that. So I think that's the first question that we always ask clients is how do you value your health and where do you see your health fitting into the rest of your life?
Mm. Why is it important to you?
In my individual health or that?
No, that's the question you're asking.
Why is
it important to the individual and helping them identify
the,
you know, the root cause of why is really important.
Yeah, and bringing that consciousness to it. Yeah.
Good. Rosie.
Okay, next question comes from Sam Cook. First of all, she says, tell the boys Sammy C says hi.
Sammy Cook. What's going on, sis?
And then she asks, if I have that high pressure focus in work and also in my fitness, how do I curb burnout?
Oh, I love that question. Yeah, I used to ask the same thing.
Yeah, and I think this question can also go further into workplaces as well, is how do you identify employees that are working really hard and avoid them from burning out? And so what we used to do with athletes is, and we had, you know, a number of different measures between heart rate and hormone testing and all those things, but the best measure was to actually ask them, how are they feeling? So they used to fill out 3-page surveys about how they felt physically, what their lifestyle's been like, and emotionally, how are they feeling? And we weren't looking for necessarily absolute changes in those, but those subtle variations, when someone always says they're great or high on a certain level, then all of a sudden they're down a little bit. That's often a sign that things aren't, you know, that things are changing, and we would take them out of a training session and adjust their workload so that then they can go easier for a day, but then be right to go for another week. So at an individual level, having that consciousness again and asking yourself those questions, if you're looking at fitness, you know, it might not be a case of going out and doing a really high intensity, high demand workout, but actually being kind to yourself and going for a walk or, you know, having a stretching session will leave you in a much more sustainable state rather than feeling that need to push yourself at the extreme all the time.
Yeah, it's funny to hear you say that, because every session we've ever done, the first thing you'll say to me is, how are you feeling today? How did you sleep last night?
Yeah.
And then that will help form what we do on the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Sammy. Sammy, she's not Sammy Crown anymore, is she? Sammy Cook.
Still Sammy C.
Still Sammy C. Same initial.
Okay, next question comes from Justin Dry.
Justin Dry.
Yeah, Vino Mofo. Okay, so he asks... If you had to choose 3 tests to assess someone's overall health, what would they be?
JD, good question.
That's a good question, yeah. Again, it's all very individualized, right? It depends on what you're working for, and that can change from time to time. It's like your values as well. You know, you might really value your health at some stage and you focus on that, or you might really focus on family, you know. You just had a son or whatever, and all of a sudden you're really focused on those sort of things. So in terms of health, look, if we look at what the research tells us and what's in the book, that our fitness and our level of fitness is one of the best indicators of quality of life and life longevity. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. If we look at another study that they did where they simply got people to sit down on the ground and stand up without using their hands and their knees. The amount of times that you touch the ground to get down and get back up. Mm. So essentially what we're looking at is your strength and your mobility. Mm. There's definitely a correlation to that in terms of quality of life and life longevity. So it's a case of maintaining those things. And I think the biggest thing is to keep moving. Mm. As long as you keep moving, then you know, I look at people like my old man who's still 77 and playing golf 5 times a week and running rings around everyone.
Sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
If I hypothesize for a second, Justin Dry, so JD is the co-founder, co-CEO, I believe, with Andre of Vino Mofo. These guys are legendary entrepreneurs. And they've got a fairly substantial staff base. So if I was to say to you, is there three core metrics. If I've got 10 staff, 100 staff, 1,000 staff, that I might look at across my staff base to be able to determine the sort of general levels of health?
Yeah. Are we looking at in terms of day-to-day, or are we looking at in terms of benchmarking where the staff are at?
Benchmarking where they're at.
Yeah. Well, again, if we look at what really matters, and I was giving you an example before that you know, we've looked at a group that we took over for 10 weeks, and over that 10 weeks, they had a 7% decrease in body weight. Mm. They had a 20% increase in fitness.
Mm.
But most surprisingly, they had a 40% increase in their ability to deal with stress. So if we're looking at work performance, asking those questions and how people feel about that aspect is the greatest measure. Because if people feel like they're in control of their stress, they're feeling engaged with the organization, and that's another thing that's hard to measure, the things that really matter you sometimes can't measure.
Mm.
So how are people engaging and interacting with each other, and what's that communication like? And we know that health and fitness all plays a role in building those things and making those things better.
So when you say there's a 20% increase in fit, firstly, that's really impressive, because that was over 7 weeks, right? So 7% decrease in body weight, 20% increase in fitness, 40% increase in ability to deal with stress, 20% increase in fitness. How are we measuring fitness?
In that particular scenario, it was just a really basic fitness test that we measured.
Gotcha.
In terms of stress, it was a subjective measure of how people felt.
Yeah.
And then with the body weight, it was simply scales.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good.
There's all different types of measures.
Love it. Rosie. Next question. While you do that, Rosie, what I'm going to do is Facebook. There are people in your friendship group and network that I'm sure you would love to hear this conversation and all the other conversations we have here each and every week on Ask Jack D. So hit the share button, share this with your audience, please. Once you've done that, just type shared into the comments below so that Rosie, Greg and I can give you a shout out and a thank you. But if you're watching, hit the share button, share it with your audience, let them know to come on over and to ask Greggy a question. Rosie.
Okay, next question comes from Kate. She asks, I find it really hard to see my health as a priority when my business needs so much work and my time. What are your thoughts on overcoming this?
Yeah, that's a super common one. Yeah, a lot of people ask that question, and you know, even instinctually, that when we're under all that stress and pressure, the first thing that goes is our health and fitness. But I think it's really important that if you are going to be at your best, you need to create that space. And often for a lot of people, that when they come to see me, the only hour they take for themselves in that week is that hour they spend with me, and they create that space there. So I think it's changing those perceptions on how you see health. And as I've mentioned, not focusing it as, you know, I need to lose weight, but actually this is a tool for me to be my best self.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first
it's a really
and foremost
distinction.
Yeah. And it's that perception. And then you can also take that to the next level and start to, I guess, incorporate movement into your practices. You don't even have to think of it as exercise. So, you know, we do things like walking meetings. If I'm catching up with a staff member, you know, rather than sit down in an office and sit at a desk and talk about how are things going, let's go for a walk down the other end of town and have a coffee and have a chat. And often they're some of the best chats that we have, because it's a lot more relaxed. You're thinking a lot clearer. You're out of it. You know, you're in a different environment. That if we look at what the brain really needs, what it thrives, changing those things is the perfect environment to have those conversations. Mm.
In the book, you talk about a Branson example where he's asked, what's the question he's asked?
What's the secret to your productivity?
Yeah.
And he leans back and smiles and says, working out.
Yeah.
It's one of the famous Branson quotes. And he also goes on to say that, you know, you can't go at 100 miles an hour when you're on zero.
Mm.
And so, again, Branson's one of those guys that's always focused on his health and sustainability is what he's proven over the years.
And in the book, it talks about Branson's view is, for every hour I do of training, I get four hours of productivity.
Yeah.
He worked it out to the ratio.
Exactly. So, you know, how much time do you spend where you're not as productive? And when you have time scheduled, you can work to those timelines to be more productive.
Yeah. If Branson and Obama can do it, What fucking excuse?
Yeah, no
do
excuse.
We have? Next question, Rosie.
Okay, this is quite a specific one. Comes from Hayden. He asks, what's the best exercise to focus on if your business is predominantly online and you're sitting at a computer and desk all day, every day?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, and that's a majority of businesses these days, that sitting's become the smoking of our generation, and you know, the average person sits for 9.5 hours a day, and we have to start consciously thinking about moving, where before it was just part and parcel of your day. And so I think firstly is thinking about your work environment and how can you change that, and already mentioned things like walking meetings. And I think the important thing to differentiate as well is that the opposite of sitting isn't standing, it's moving. So some people think, okay, I'll get a stand-up desk and that will overcome all my problems. But unless you're moving, the body doesn't get those benefits. So we talk about creating an inconvenient workstation where you have to go and walk across a room and talk to someone. You have to get up and down from your desk to go. You have to go to, you know, the furthest point in the room to go to the bathroom. That by creating inconvenience, we're then all of a sudden creating more movement as well. So think about how you create your environment, but then also think about your behaviours and ways that you can build movement in.
I love that. Create an inconvenient work environment where you need to move. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Rosie, hit us with the next question. How are we going for time, by the way?
We've got five minutes left. Greg's good. He powers through them. This is really good. I'm loving this episode.
Greg, you noticed that.
You're silly.
Okay.
Greg, you're surprised he's getting a word in.
It's a pleasant day.
Okay. This question comes from Matt. He says, I find a workout first thing in the morning does wonders for the head. Do you feel paying staff for the first hour of their day exercising would benefit the company? Does anyone else look after their staff like this? It's an interesting one.
100%. I think if you look at, you know, all those articles about the routines and habits of, you know, morning rituals of all those successful business leaders, they all have some form of exercise or movement in there. And again, in the book, there's examples of studies where, you know, kids before school, they got to exercise before going to class. And the ones that exercised compared to the ones that didn't exercise, they performed the best academically. But what was most fascinating about that study was not just the fact that they performed the best academically, but the subjects they did best in were the subjects they did directly after exercise. Mm. And so what we know about the human body is that when we move and we exercise, we release a thing called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, to keep it simple. And that's like fertilizer for our brains. So that when we're moving, our brains build new brain cells are developed. So that's why we can focus and think clearer once we've moved. So I actively encourage that within workplaces, that if you want to set your team up for success and not just yourself, to make movement as part of something that you do every day.
Yeah, and that's been one of the interesting trends that for me has been even the most corporate, rigid, financially focused organizations in the world are now doing that, right? Yeah. Like you've got Macquarie Bank with structured meditation programs. You've got Boston Consulting Group, and if someone's booking too many hours, which is obviously how the company makes money.
Yeah.
Booking the red flag goes up and a manager goes and talks to them about doing more wellness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're starting to see a lot of those things that, like I said, that we've done with athletes for years to now apply those in the workplace. And it is becoming a growing issue, but we are seeing those changes with those companies that are really looking to innovate.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Rosie, before I come to you for the next question, what we do have for those of you watching tonight are two copies of Greggy's book that he will sign. So for those of you that do share the episode, hit share. Once you've done that in the comments below, just write shared. Once you've done that, not only will Rosie, Greggy and I give you a bit of a shout out, we'll also pick two names and two people will receive a copy of this signed copy of Greggy's book, which is a very, very good book on health and fitness. Rosie, make it a good one.
Okay. This one comes from Dawn. Oh, I've got to get my mouth. Sorry. This one comes from Dawn. She asks, So, Jack and Greg, what are your morning rituals?
Good question.
It is a good question. Look, and again, it's probably a bit different to what you expect. I have a lot of appointments in the morning. I still schedule time that I call Greg time, where I go and have breakfast. I gather my thoughts and plan out my day. But I tend to exercise better in the afternoons. That's where I find works best for me personally. So even though I know that part of a morning ritual is great, but I think it's more important to make sure that you've got it in your day somewhere and to have an understanding of what works for you might not work for someone else. I've got clients that I won't train before midday because I know that they're no good in the morning, and then I've got ones that I won't see after lunchtime because they're no good at lunchtime. So it's a case of finding what works for you.
Yeah, similarly, you know, I was saying to this to Greggy before we went live tonight, which is he changed the way I train. So I used to have a very one-dimensional way of training, whereas today I might swim, I might run, I might walk, or I might sort of train in the gym. So again, I don't have a set. I train from 6 to 7 or 7 to 8 or whatever. Generally speaking, I usually sort of train in the afternoon because that's when I get an hour or so. But I've not only developed sort of a bunch of different ways to exercise, I've also developed a bunch of different ways that I can sort of rejuvenate and recenter. So like Greggy having his brekkie and sort of gathering his thoughts and planning his day. For me, that kind of stuff is like journaling or reading a non-business book, or even going to the ocean, or, you know, there's different things that I know I can do outside of just exercising that enable me to rejuvenate and recenter and realign. And so for me, it's not so much of a structure that I follow every day. It's more I've got my 8 to 10 things that I know I love to do, and I ritualize them around my life, you know, yeah, in any given week.
And I think also not just the micro in terms of the weekly stuff, but also your yearly. And I know that's something that you've developed over the years, is that you schedule almost off seasons during your year, where you'll have holidays where you go away to just clear yourself. And in the book, I talk about it resetting, that you have that opportunity to move away, rethink, and then come back and feel rejuvenated, and you can work really hard up until that point, knowing that you've got that pause and that break.
That's right. And funnily enough, the breaks, I'm going to use the word productive, and I don't mean productive in that I sit there working, but productive in that I make the most mental and sort of strategic progress.
Yeah.
Because you're relaxed, you're rejuvenated, you know, yeah, you're just in a better space.
And I think that's hard for a lot of entrepreneurs as well, because they feel, and to an extent, their businesses are so centered on them.
Yes.
To actually take that time and move out is scary, it's full on, but that's where you can see things the best.
Yeah.
And
Let that be the core message of this episode, right? None of us have an abundance of time. Well, very few of us do anyway, right? Doing this sort of stuff, focusing on your health and fitness, focusing on you, makes you better. It makes you a better business person. It makes you a better partner. It makes you a better husband, wife, father, mother, son, daughter. And it certainly makes you a better learner, an executor, an entrepreneur, because you're more effective as a human being, right? So as entrepreneurs and people who are chasing a dream in general, I think we need to have this conversation more often. Greggy Stark, thank you so much for coming.
Mate, pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Mate, before we wrap up, are we allowed to sing you happy birthday?
Oh. Yeah!
Matt, now you're officially an adult. Ready?
Such a good Rosie? Idea. Yeah, Shawnee, okay.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jackie. Happy birthday to you.
Beep.
Hooray.
Beep, beep.
Hooray.
Hooray. I'm just wondering how I didn't see that coming. I should have known that was coming weeks ago.
Oh, Greg is on the cake and everything.
Mate, you would have put him in if you jumped out of the cake. That's a birthday cake. And on that note, this man is a new dad. How old is little H now?
4 months.
Four months. Yeah, how's that going for you?
Mate, it's great. It's the best thing. It's and again, it's a challenge in trying to fit all that stuff in now as well, because you got business, you got your own health,
of course,
and now you want to spend every second with this little man, because every day is different and changing. So again, it's just working out what is important and what you're willing to sacrifice and what you're not willing to sacrifice, and making that work for you. So it's
very,
awesome.
Cool. Big shout out to Kaz.
And there's going to be a link in the comments where you can buy Sweat Equity.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you for that, Rosie. Guys, we're going to link to Greg's website in the comments below. Take you to his Better Being website where you can check out a little bit more about what he does. And also, of course, grab yourself a copy of one of them. If you only read one health and fitness book in your life, make it that and make it soon, because it helps. We'll see you guys next time. So what that means right now is my head's in the cloud with my feet tied down. Looking at the world like it's me time now. Got my A-team here, left the B-side out.